All right, guys. Let's hear what's trending.
What's trending? The Biden administration.
This could also apply to COVID-19 talk because, well, Joe Biden was hoping to have a 70% vaccination rate countrywide by the 4th of July. Governments love quotas, numbers, statistics that they can reach and point to and brag about. If you've ever watched the television show The Wire, you'll see the police department in that show brag about their clearance rate of all the homicides that they actually can get through. This is always a big thing with government. Joe Biden, though, is not thrilled that it's only 67% as opposed to 70%. And honestly, I think at this point, we're on the other side. We are reopening. We are realizing that, yeah, there's definitely some risk, but everyone's responsible for themselves. You should be able to make your own decision, first off, whether or not you want to work with something like this in the air. But also at the same time, even though I personally am vaccinated, you deserve the right to make that decision. Say you have some reservations about it. I know plenty of people have reservations about it. For me, since I'm a really basic bro, I kind of just want to be able to travel overseas again. I want to go on another yacht week. That is legitimately why I got the vaccination. Is that going to happen anytime soon? Probably not, but I would like to at some point over the course of the next calendar year take a little vacation to somewhere else in this wonderful world of ours. But maybe that's not going to happen. And to quote Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 3, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Well, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki said that if that quota does not get met, Biden maybe would support states reimposing COVID restrictions.
States are going to have to make evaluations and local communities are going to have to make evaluations about what's in their interests. And as you know, there are much higher rates of vaccinations in some parts of the country over others. And we certainly support their decisions to implement any measures that they think will help their community safe.
Well, this one's really, really vaccinated, so let's not do that, please. Jay, I know you listen to the show. I know you're a big fan.
He likes the podcast subscriber.
Ooh, okay, so he's avant-garde. Yes. He has transitioned into the alternative universe of sports radio, which has now become something that you can hear on the World Wide Web. But Jay, listen, you know, we're all big fans. Please, don't. That's all I have to say. Don't. I know you want to. I know you're thinking about it long and hard. You kept us cooped up for a really long time. You can't give me that freedom and take it away from me. You did it once before in November. I thought it was going to be like 3 weeks. It was 2 months. My mental health was affected by this. I went crazy talking to my cat for the entirety of, I don't know, 2 months. Didn't see anybody. Only saw people at work through Zoom. Sorry, I don't want to go back to that. And I know that there are some people that are thinking, well, we got to stop the spread of the virus. You can't go back in time right now. You can't. Delta virus, whatever. Look, if people want to go out right now, whether they're vaccinated or not, I feel that should be their decision. But ultimately, it comes down to the actual vaccinations, whether you are or you aren't. You're going to be vilified by some people if you admit publicly that you aren't. I don't think that's necessarily fair, though if I were in your shoes, I would actually do it myself. But again, it's a personal decision for everybody. That's what makes this country great. We should not be forced to do anything. Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci, he believes that it's time to put aside your personal and political differences. It is just time to get that vaccine.
Whatever the reasons, as you said, some of them are ideologic, some of them are just fundamentally anti-vax or anti-science or what have you. But, you know, we just need to put that aside now. We're dealing with a historic situation with this pandemic, and we do have the tools to counter it. So for goodness sakes, put aside all of those differences and realize that the common enemy is the virus, and we have a tool, a highly effective tool against this virus.
It does seem highly effective, by the way. That said, when you hear him say some of the things that he said at the very beginning there, it comes off as a little bit disingenuous. And he is, I think, inserting the idea that some of these decisions are being made entirely for political reasons, or they're just being made by anti-vaxxers, which is a code for some people, a crazy person, at least on the left side of things. Like, they like to throw that label around, much like they like to throw the old R-bomb at people. And I would just say, when it comes to that, this is how you don't get people to vaccinate. When you tell people that they are doing this for political reasons, and on top of that, some of the people that have reservations, the reservations have nothing to do with politics or anything like that. They have to do with the fact that we don't know what we're being told. There's been a lot of misinformation out there, and it's not necessarily about the vaccine as much as it's we're told one day that masks are good. We're told another day that, well, masks aren't that effective. You need to wear a mask outside. Oh, you maybe don't need to wear a mask outside. We have been figuring things out on the fly, and honestly, that is somewhat to be expected. But when you are expecting people to fall in line when you are barely hanging on to this bull that we see as COVID-19, you can see why some people aren't going to jump on top of it because they don't want to get knocked off. Here is President Biden today calling for renewed urgency to get more people vaccinated. And, well, you might be getting some Jehovah's Witness-esque people knocking on your door very soon.
We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate those eager to get their first shot and their second shot, for that matter, if they needed a second. Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors, to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus. Look, equity, equality, it remains at the heart of our responsibility of ensuring the communities that are the hardest hit by the virus have the information and the access to get vaccinated. So, as we shift from these centralized mass vaccination sites where we're doing thousands of people a day, we're going to put even more emphasis on getting vaccinated in your community, close to home, conveniently, and a location you're already familiar with.
Your house. Knock, knock. Who's there? Hey, let me tell you about my friend, the COVID-19 vaccination. That would be a very interesting knock on the door, that's for sure. Look, I think at this point, most of the people that want to get vaccinated have, and most of the people that probably aren't going to, which is their choice. And if they want to make that choice and they're fine with it, then they can go ahead and make that choice. Being 3% away from this quota that you felt like you needed to make, I don't think that's any reason to all of a sudden talk to certain states and say, yeah, you know what? Let's go back in time. Let's put some of those restrictions back in place. But you never know, especially with the local government here. What else is trending?
What's trending? You can't make this up.
This is something else. So, a King County council candidate is under scrutiny for a 2010 incident where she boarded a bus full of middle schoolers and suggested that she had a bomb.
Excuse me.
Sure.
You can't drive, you can't leave.
I told you, it's not a book for children.
I can't leave?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a matter of national security. How do you know what I have? And I have a book.
So this lady said that she had a bomb. If you choose not to get off the bus, I'm going to drop you right here as we stand. Do you understand that?
I'm at a loss. First off, why did she get on the bus? Second off, thank you to the post-millennial for that audio. Second, what was the intent here? I mean, it sounded like she was a stranger jumping on the bus at this point in time. I don't know if it was a teacher who had a bad day, like it's falling down or something like that, starring Michael Douglas. I have no idea what that is. But this person is running for the King County Council? Well, I don't think they're running anymore. Imagine doing that. Like, just why would you ever do something like that? I can't think of a reason as to why.
Why would you do that and then 10 years later be like, you know what I should do is run for King County Council? I have such a good track record. The community loves me.
It's a good point, Peyton. The receipts, the skeletons, they always get dug up. And there are certain people that know that they've done something really dumb in their life that are going to get pulled out of the woodwork, pulled out of the closet, when they dive into something like this. It's a great point. So now all of a sudden this person's getting canceled, rightfully so. I mean, you know, that should be something we decide to cancel more people for. Bomb threats.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, sign up for that, yeah.
I cancel Ted Kaczynski. That's my choice right now. What else is trending?
What's trending? Crime.
Wow. That's all I can really say about this story. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised by anything that comes from the South, anything that comes out of Portland, but holy smokes. There was a shooting over the weekend. Multiple 911 calls were made about it on Saturday, just after 9 o'clock. 80 shots fired in a Saturday night shooting. 80. And I think at this point, if you're living in Portland, a city that has seen 579 shootings so far this year, you are thinking long and hard about what you can even do when you let a city get to a point where it just feels essentially like something that you would see in the movie franchise Mad Max. Bullets struck four vehicles and four residences, including apartments that were occupied at the time. Thankfully, no one was reportedly injured. Here's Portland Police Department Rapid Response Lieutenant Jacob Clark speaking out, because now you're seeing people resigning from the riot squad because things have gotten so out of hand in Portland, much like you've seen up here in Seattle.
Yeah, I know the timing came after the indictment of one of the team members, but really, this was a long time coming. The team wanted to quit back in the fall. They met with the chiefs of police. They expressed all of their issues. The chief said that they would address it, and the team believed that. They kept doing their job. And then really this indictment of one of our officers was really kind of the second-to-last straw that broke the camel's back for the team.
I don't know what I would do if I were a police officer there, because there it legitimately feels as if it's the Wild West. We're looking at the 1800s there. And this is just continuing over and over again. And I imagine there are a lot of police officers who are going to look at this job and say, yeah, look, I have sworn to serve and protect, but am I protected here? When this just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse, and people are deciding, you know what, this ain't for me. I can't believe how bad things have gotten in Portland, and I really hope that that's something that does not migrate north here. What else is trending?
What's trending in Seattle?
This is something that hits close to home, and honestly, it bums me out because this is right around the corner from my apartment. It's a park that I guess is a park. I didn't know it was a park for the longest time because the first couple of times that I've swung by it, I just saw tents. There's a library across the street with tents, and in Ballard, the Ballard Common Spray Park, it's not going to turn on this summer. We're looking for cooling centers, see if we have, I don't know, some more catastrophic weather events in the near future where it's 100 degrees plus. If you don't have air conditioning, maybe you're looking for a place to cool down a little bit. Well, you won't be able to do it at the Ballard Common Spray Park, which is right next to the Bartels drugstore that I regularly go to. And that place, I can't believe anyone is living in the apartments that are right nearby there. That park has been completely overtaken by encampments. Seattle Parks and Rec say they've opted not to turn on the usually popular spray park because of the current encampment and ongoing health and safety concerns in Ballard Commons. Because of health and safety concerns of Seattle and King County Public Health and our own safety office regarding ongoing encampments and other activities at Ballard Commons Park, we regretfully decided not to operate the spray park there this summer, a spokesperson from Seattle Parks told My Ballard this week. You just gave up? That's it? You gave up that quickly? You gave up that easily? Man, it bums me out that you go to any park across this city and you're going to see not a park, but a bunch of tents. Whether it's on Capitol Hill, right around the corner from me, whether it's right there in Ballard, or around the corner from me, or it's West Green Lake, and we'll talk to somebody from West Green Lake and the issues that they are having. You can't go anywhere without seeing these encampments. And COVID-19, because of the vaccinations that this city has, that this county has, at what point are you going to decide to roll back? At what point are you going to decide to do sweeps? And maybe that's just not something that's ever going to come back, but there is such a defeatist mentality that comes here from local government when it comes to anything like this. And, I mean, if you look, if you walk by that area, and I have walked by that area several times, I usually go there once a week or so, that does not look like a place where people are safe, are healthy. And I'm talking about the people there. I'm nervous to actually walk across the street there. That place is legitimately one of those spots where you don't know what's going to happen on a given day.
Now tell me, you've been in cities all across the country. I mean, you've, I think in the small amount of time that we've been talking, you've named like five different cities you've ever lived in. Have you ever felt more scared of walking through any of this, those cities?
I feel bad because I'm walking across the street. No, no, Peyton, this is the worst it's ever been. I lived in Houston. It's different. It's Texas, obviously. I've lived in St. Petersburg, Florida. It's different. It's Florida. Boston, I can't remember seeing much of this. That's a northeastern city. That's a place that's left-leaning. That is a place that you would think would be maybe a little bit more accommodating towards people that have encampments. Nope. They don't play around there. And yet, and it's not just here. This is an entire West Coast thing. I remember the first time I ever went to San Francisco, I was really excited because I thought San Francisco from afar looks like a really pretty city. I go there with a significant other that I had not seen in a really long time. And we're walking around and like, where do you go? First off, it's just gross because there's stuff all over the place. Yes, that kind of stuff. But also, you're seeing encampments left and right. And I'm just surprised by how tolerant people are of it. I get it. You don't want to be mean. You don't want to be cruel. You don't want to be inhumane towards these people who have real serious issues. But if they're not willing to take the help that is being offered them by local government, state government, etc., someone needs to push them in the right direction. Sometimes you need to be saved from yourself. And just sitting back and casually allowing things to happen makes the matter get worse and worse and worse. I will say, once again, it drives me crazy every single day that I drive to work and I drive past Fremont Brewery. I think it's at Leary and I think 6th Avenue. And there is an encampment at a little triangle underneath a tree. And it legitimately looks like something from a post-apocalyptic society. Like they've got, it looks like a little makeshift bar going on there. They've got a bunch of things hooked up to RVs, so they are clearly generating some sort of power in that situation. And you know that some of these camps, they are doing things that are not the wisest, and it leads to fires and other dangerous things that you do not want to see happen. And they just leave these things alone. And I'm surprised that, especially now that COVID-19 is not the issue that it once was, that the sweeps have not resumed. Because they should, no matter how inhumane you might think they are. I'm Paul Gallant, in for Jason Rantz.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rantz Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Let's go around outside the city, where things actually seem to make sense from time to time. I'm Paul Gallant, in for Jason Rantz. I know Jason will constantly say, and I think he's right here, that when you see policies in Seattle, there's a chance that those policies will leave the city. I am of the belief, or maybe of the naive hope, that some of these things that are done outside the city will actually come into the city itself. And let's go up to Everett. Everett City Council approved a no-sit, no-lie homeless camping ordinance in mid-March, on the condition that a new pallet shelter space is available as an alternative. With those spaces now open, the city will begin to enforce the ordinance. So basically, this prohibits sitting or lying down of any kind on the area's streets and sidewalks within a 10-block radius along Smith Avenue near the I-5 overpass in a part of the city where tents and tarps have been all over the place. Passed 5-1 as part of a larger bill to use a $1 million grant from the state to set up a series of tiny homes capable of housing up to 30 people behind the Everett Gospel Mission. So, It does give the ability for police officers to sweep these encampments, but the plan is going to at first be to educate people camped out in the area about this alternative for them. And then, of course, to clear access to sidewalks and businesses for pedestrians. So they're hoping to move 10 to 15 people by the end of the week into these new shelters. This is how it should be done. If you have the means to do something like this, and I guess maybe it's a little bit more difficult in Seattle to do it on a grand scale, seeing as they have sat back and allowed it, and I know I'm not supposed to talk about it in this segment, gotten to a certain point, but this is how it's supposed to be done. And I feel like this is the kind of model that other areas around that city should be taking on if they do have an issue like that. I mean, no sit, no lie. Guess what's going to happen? You can't do either of those two things. You can't sleep here. You can't sit here. You're probably not going to stay here. I think it's smart. And I'm surprised that other places haven't taken it on. And I hope that other places take it on. This is the way, I think, to counteract it. Now, I imagine that we'll see this in places like Mercer Island. Council members voted 6-1 in February to ban camping on public property entirely. Auburn raised the penalty for camping in public from $250 to a $1,000 fine and or 90 days in jail, while carving out exceptions so that the penalties only apply in situations where overnight shelter space is already available. Some people are taking measures. This is the way that you make sure that encampments don't spread outside of the city and into your backyard. Up next. And the Big Local brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Let's go to Bellevue. And this is a sad story. A woman was shot to death in a Bellevue bar and her estranged husband was arrested after an extensive search. 34-year-old man's in custody on investigation of a murder after he allegedly shot his estranged wife. Bellevue police said the woman, an employee of Sam's, was shot behind the bar toward the end of the evening when staff were closing down. It's a sad story, and it's one of those stories that you see happen, and I don't know what you can really do about something like that. And I know that some would, in response to this, call for tighter gun control laws and things like that. But are you really going to stop somebody who has it in his heart to do something like that, where it's probably premeditated? And I mean, he's even going out to do it in public. I would like to think that you can, but I don't really know how you go about doing it. I will say that something like this is something that I would expect not to happen necessarily out in Bellevue. I mean, I would more so expect a story that I saw in Gig Harbor, because this is something that, honestly, I am very used to, having lived in Texas for 8 years. A man was shot and killed after he broke into a home overnight in Gig Harbor. The incident unfolded at about 10 o'clock on the 7600 block of Hidden Lane Northwest, according to the Pierce County Sheriff's Department. A 48-year-old man broke a window and crawled inside the home. The homeowner shot and killed the man when he started coming up the stairs towards him and his wife. The man who broke in was intoxicated, and he might have confused the home for a family member's house nearby. Whatever the case, this is a right in Texas that you have. And this is why people don't break into houses in Texas. That's the danger that you run into if you were to step in. And honestly, it's one of those things where, with the way that things have gone locally, I would imagine that I would like to have the same means to protect myself. Say that, I don't know, certain police departments have their hands tied behind their back and aren't actually able to step in and protect us. Last up in the Big Local, this got me excited. There's an increase in travelers at SeaTac Airport over the 4th of July weekend. Melissa Cartwright of Utah was shocked to see the amount of people at SeaTac.
When we got closer into the airport, it was just packed. I was scared of the crazy people on the plane. Like, everybody's just so close together and everybody's scared of, you know, the germs and how you see on the news, like other people freaking out and yelling. And I think I was more scared of that.
Natalie Mason Kinsey, who was returning to LA after visiting family, also noticed the increased traffic at SeaTac, which is good.
A little nervous, but it was fine. I think the biggest nerves were just because so many people were coming back and whether or not
people were going to be masked up like they're supposed to be, whether there were going to be any issues, and there weren't any. It was pretty smooth sailing.
I'm at the point right now where I'm having a tough time just putting a mask on, period. Now that I have had both of my vaccination shots, I'm sort of the mindset of, okay, I took care of this. I have my vaccination card with me at all times. So that latter part at the airport, that's one of the things that still kind of frustrates me, because I do find it very bizarre that if you're on a plane, you got to wear the mask the entire time, except for when you have your pretzels, except for when you have your little carbonated soda.
Yeah, know that. You can't get COVID if you have pretzels and the Biscoff cookies in front of you.
You know what? Or the Stroopwafel on certain airlines like United, which, Peyton, is, I think, the absolute best. I one time, you know, United gets a lot of perhaps due crap for some of the customer service incidents that they've had, but I've always had a wonderful experience with them. One time I tweeted out, yo, the Stroopwafel's the bomb, and then they mailed me some.
Really?
Yeah, they just mailed me a box of it.
They didn't punch you in the face and drag you down the aisle?
No, they didn't.
I thought that's what they did with all of their interactions with passengers.
Nope. Maybe that's coming at a future date. But no, that is something that they did not do. But yeah, it's bizarre to me that that is still a holdup. But whatever the case, if you are scared of flying, if you are scared of traveling, I would say that it's sort of feels pretty normal. It's just a little bit more crowded. And yeah, these airplanes are tight and they're compact, but as someone who before the vaccine had traveled on a plane several times, really paranoid that I might at some point over the course of the flight catch it and perhaps pass it on to my parents who were dying to have me visit them in Florida. And I was like, well, do you really want me to visit? I mean, when I got there, I went into the shower straight away. I hosed myself off for like 30 minutes thinking that that might do something. I burned my clothes. Just kidding. I put them straight in the washing machine. That was back then. Now, because so many people are vaccinated, if you are somebody that I think is nervous of flying, I don't think you should anymore. Really, the main thing that I am more concerned with is that you have seen some people get a little more aggressive. I know some people have perhaps seen some viral videos across the country of fights actually taking place on planes while the plane is in flight. That, to me, is a little bit terrifying, but that's something you're not going to see a whole lot.
Yeah, a lot of pent-up aggression on these flights. Why? People are just so antsy to get where they're going that they're willing to throw haymakers.
Yeah, imagine throwing a haymaker on a plane, too. Like, what do you think's going to happen? You think you're going to get away? You know, like, there's nowhere to go. You're not Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible. You're not going to open the emergency exit and just jump out and parachute down, you know?
No, once you assert your dominance, everyone knows who the top, the alpha is on the plane, and no one else will bother you. You just have to throw a knockout punch.
Peyton, planes aren't prison. This is not prison.
You're telling me somebody will come up and confront you after you put one person on the ground?
Maybe. I mean, king of the hill. It's a little game. I mean, if you get really bored, I guess, over the course of an entire flight, then I suppose these are the kind of theatrics and semantics that you go through, you know?
I guess I got to change my flight strategy now. I got to rethink this.
Look, I'm really happy to see that we are finally getting back to a sense of normalcy just from a travel perspective. And while I do hope that people behave themselves on flights to and fro, just know that it's starting to get back to normal if you do have some of those reservations about getting back on a plane. Travel. It's fun to see the world. That is the Big Local, everybody, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Jason Ranch Show, KTTH. I am Paul Gallant. Yes, that Paul Gallant selling in for Jason. And I'm going to take you into the world of the sports ball. There's some controversy brewing at ESPN.
What's new?
Well, Peyton, here's what's going on. If you took a look at the New York Times over the weekend, they put out a piece highlighting something that me, Mr. Sports, was unaware of this weekend. The headline: a disparaging video prompts explosive fallout within ESPN. Now, I know some of you guys are probably hearing that headline and you're like, I do not care about the drama between sports talking heads at all. But I live for this. What happened here is Rachel Nichols was having a conversation that she thought was private. And she was talking about her current work situation. She has a job as one of the faces of the NBA on ESPN. And during a conversation, which she thought was private, she said some things that became public to the entire world.
I wish Marie Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football, she covers basketball. If you need her to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your like crappy long-time record on diversity, which, by the way, I myself like know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just, you know, find it somewhere else. Like, you're not going to find it with me and taking my thing away.
Everyone in this industry is extremely competitive. There are a select few jobs to cover sports. And if you're a woman in sports, you have an uphill battle to even get to the point where Rachel Nichols was. Rachel Nichols felt threatened for her job because Maria Taylor has been recently essentially a made person at ESPN. She is vaulting up the ranks. I will say she's actually very talented. But Rachel Nichols is too. And Rachel Nichols is somebody that I have trusted talking about basketball for a really long time. What happened was she was on the phone right there with Adam Mendelsohn, who is the longtime advisor of Lakers superstar LeBron James and his agent, Rich Paul. So they were basically discussing strategy. What do you do here? What do you do in this situation? But you heard those comments, and when you hear somebody say that somebody is perhaps moving up the ranks entirely because of diversity reasoning, that person is going to end up getting ousted from their job. And that is something that, unfortunately for Rachel Nichols, has happened. This is one of those things where I do wonder what's going to happen to Rachel Nichols, because this is not something that I find to be extremely offensive. I don't know that it's true. I really don't. I mean, here's the other thing about just the sports media industry. When it comes to women in the industry, there are a lot of people who believe like you only have a set amount of time to get to a certain spot before somebody who is younger, and specifically younger looking, might eventually take your job. So I can understand why Rachel Nichols would be extremely territorial about it and vent about it. What she thought was a private conversation. The problem was, this phone conversation that she thought was taking place private was not private, because she did not know that the camera that she had been recording much of her show from, she didn't know that it was still on. She didn't know how to turn it off, it seems like. So now she is getting removed from her sideline reporting duties, which she had had. We're going to see more of this. And I think this is sort of a reminder, and it's the unfortunate reminder of where we live. You don't really ever have any moments where you can be private and necessarily honest. And it's not to say that this is something that I look at and I say, oh, Rachel Nichols was in the right. No, I don't. But I don't think it's necessarily the big deal that should result in some sort of a demotion. It was a private conversation. The private conversation was made public by somebody else who works at the company. Is that fair? Is that fair to Rachel Nichols? I mean, you're allowed to have private conversations about coworkers, aren't you? Or about why certain coworkers maybe rise the ranks. And that is a bit of an interesting take. And I don't know that she necessarily has the evidence to back that up. But aren't you allowed to talk about things behind closed doors with people that you trust? And are you going to really get your entire career altered because of things like that? The answer is yes. This is the way that we're going right now. And first off, for anyone in my industry, you better be careful in front of a live mic. You never know what's going to get picked up. And I know for certain that I should be a lot more careful about that with some of the stupid stuff that I've said. That's usually just nonsensical, weird things that involves a lot of cussing when I was on the television side of things. But this is just something you got to be aware of. Now, she has been defended by some of her coworkers. Steven Jackson, a former NBA player, he stood up for her over these comments about diversity and about how Maria Taylor rose the ranks. This is what Steven Jackson had to say. Steven Jackson basically came out in support of her. And when you see that, you see that there are people that like her. You see that there are people who support her. Should she now be viewed through the prism of this one story that she thought was a private conversation? And I guess I leave that up to you, because we're just going to see more and more stories like this these days. And it is sad, but it's the reality of the times that we live in. Honestly, there are times where I have conversations with friends, and I do wonder how they will take it. I know I have some friends who really enjoy just recording every single thing that we do. They are like little paparazzi gnomes. And it drives me nuts because if you're out and about and you're having yourself a good time, maybe you've had a beverage or two, and all of a sudden they're zooming in on you. And I'm like, wait a second, what am I doing here? But this is what happens when you got cameras everywhere. And that's how easy it was for that one person to take out the camera and start recording what Rachel Nichols was saying. And I'm really curious as to how long that person had the phone on that. I mean, honestly, I would like to figure out who that person was, too, if I'm working at ESPN. Because, first off, well, maybe I look at Rachel Nichols' comments and I realize just because of where we are in 2021 that I must do something. At the same time, I'm looking at that employee and I'm like, wait a second. You would do that to a coworker? You were looking to rise the ranks or use that to whatever motivations that are for whatever methods that you might so that you can rise the ranks? Because to me, it does feel like that's part of it here. Because you can't trust anybody. There is a part of me that empathizes with Rachel Nichols for this situation. I don't think anything that she said was particularly damning. I can understand how people might find it to be insensitive, but sometimes people do believe that that is a part of why people rise the ranks. Again, we can't necessarily prove that. But the thing in this situation that you need to look at is just how do you handle these situations going forward? And if you're somebody who does have maybe open conversations with people on a regular basis at work, unfortunately, you're probably going to have to be a little bit more close-lipped. I'm Paul Gallant in for Jason Ranch. This is the Jason Ranch Show, KTTH.